Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to another round of the Hashtag Finance Master show. We have started the series, The Modern Finance Function, and today we'll talk about the different teams holding the fort in the modern finance function. What are the most critical teams in the modern finance function? So, the convergence of multiple transformations and higher expectations from CFOs means that teams in the modern finance function must adapt. In today's show, we aim to assess the different asks CFOs place on each team and how we can adapt to the ever-evolving demands. It's evident to us in our role as business partners that the new operating model of the modern finance function should be built around an integration of people, technology, and teamwork collaboration. Let's explore what each finance team brings to the table and how you can ensure you're continuing to grow and add value in this modern approach to the finance function. We have kind of five teams we'll go through. So first one is accounting. And the tagline here is streamline for success. Accounting is lean and efficient. CFOs increasingly expect accounting teams to achieve more while needing fewer resources, at least if you consider it person power. It's a paradox as old as business, but nevertheless means creative solutions and sharpest adoption and utilization of new technologies. This has led to a growing reliance on automation, particularly on one's routine and time-consuming tasks. Although there are different levels of automation in each accounting department, companies have reduced significantly, in some cases, manual processing errors and the time it takes to carry out tasks. We've left some references in the article this morning, just in case you want to dig more into each of these topics here. But you've probably also heard me cite the report from Accenture, CFO Now, back in 2021. They found that the transactional financial and accounting processes have been automated significantly more in just a few years. From 2018 to 2021, the rate of automation increased from 34% to 60%. Massive shift there. The benefits are clear, leading to cost savings and more efficiency and productivity. While this seems logical, the shift towards automation and cost cutting must be balanced with the CFO's need to add and demonstrate value. It's not just about doing it cheaper. It's also about doing it smarter and better. The balance lies in leveraging technology to streamline operations while freeing up human resources to focus on more strategic, value-adding activities. This approach ensures that the accounting function not only contributes to cost efficiency, but also plays a critical role in the broader strategic objectives of your organization, fulfilling the expanded mandate of the CFO to the CEO and the board. And I'd say this about accounting, you know, I often talk about what are future career paths that accountants can follow. And one of them is certainly technical accounting, both looking after the automation tools, robots, but also looking after implementation of standards and new accounting rules and compliance. And now we have ESG coming in. I think there's a lot that accountants can definitely start working on. And of course, the paradox is that accountants are in high demand, one because large generations are now soon retiring from the workforce, and few have gone into the accounting profession lately. So at least in the US, there's a big gap looming there. But if you want to share your thoughts on accounting and its role in the modern finance function, feel free to raise your hand and come up on stage. We'll bring Tina up. At least Tina usually has some good perspectives here. Tina, welcome back to the show. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your thoughts.
Thank you for bringing me up to stage. I just wanted to say that it's a great topic. And basically, I'm more of the finance team. But like you said, because of the automation, these two functions are being more and more coerced into one. And accounting is suffering because it's one of the jobs that is more manual, so to say, despite the digitalization. So it's very interesting to see how it will develop. For me, from what you said, Anders, it looks like it's going to take up more of the finance functions. These two will be more integrated into one, as if the manual accounting is being decreased, so to speak, then the people doing these jobs will have more time to focus on KPIs, dashboards, reporting, controlling, budgeting. And I see all of these functions being more interconnected into one role person, which is something that I've noticed when I've been looking through, let's say, the LinkedIn job apps. So more and more of these roles that we know to be like specialized, or let's say budgeting. I, for example, as my opinion is, controlling is different than accounting, different than finance. But however, I see that these functions are more and more integrated into one. So this is my perspective. We should see how can people, again, be prepared to learn and learn more being on the job, or even learning on the site or by university or case studies or whatever. However, I see that this integration and more generalized approach in that on the job is being more popular, so to say. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Tina. I think it makes perfect sense. I think we're going to see much more integration of the financial value chain. So the second team is FP&A. And here the tagline is creating the strategic vision and charting the course. Maybe creating the vision, I think we'll leave that to the CEO perhaps. But I think it's important that FP&A plays a crucial role in the strategic process. So in the modern finance function, FP&A or financial planning analysis is the forward thinking when it's driven by the CFO's desire for a more strategic and proactive function. This evolution is marked by a shift from traditional forecasting methods to a more dynamic approach to scenario planning. Gone are the days when FP&A teams solely relied on annual budgets. Now, rolling forecasts are embraced, as well as a more agile and responsive approach to market changes. FP&A is not just about crunching numbers. It's about data-driven storytelling. This involves gathering and synthesizing relevant financial data into forecasts that rely on data visualization, creating company-wide and department-level targets, and running pricing analysis to find the optimal range, and so on. All of which help inform key decisions to the CFO that the CFO lives by. Financial planning is not just a function of finance, but a pivotal part of the business overall strategy. And I really want FP&A folks to go into that strategy room, be a facilitator, drive the discussion so that the CFO can focus on actually being a participant in those discussions rather than someone that has to sort of fill in the gaps. So definitely want to raise the level there for FP&A. The third team is business finance. Tagline here is a keystone of decision support. True business partners in our eyes, business finance teams are decision support teams and should have a role in all significant decisions being made throughout the company. And we'll leave the FP&A to be the kind of strategic decision support or business partners, and business finance to be the rest. For a CFO to be confident in their effectiveness, business finance teams should sit as close to the business teams as possible. Their success should be measured against whether the business units themselves are successful. That's no small challenge. The CFO needs to know that business leadership is being supported by business finance teams to help them meet or beat their targets, because business finance teams act as a vital bridge, ensuring seamless integration and strategic alignment. This team is pivotal in embedding finance expertise within business units, a move that brings numerous benefits. By having finance professionals work closely with operational teams, organizations can facilitate real-time decision-making, enabling quicker responses to market changes and operational challenges. This close collaboration ensures that financial insights are not just retrospective, but are actively used to shape future strategies. We've noted how this approach positions business finance as not just a support function, but as a proactive partner in driving business growth and innovation. And naturally, I'm biased here myself, right? But to me, that's one of the most exciting roles you can have in the modern finance function, because it's that intersection between business, finance, and people, because it's as much a people game as anything else in business, right? Because you are partnering, you're influencing, you're communicating to business leaders. So it's not an easy one, but when you get it right, it gives me chills every time I talk about it. So I hope you want to explore those opportunities there. So send me a message in case you need some help with that. We have Steve on the stage as well. Steve, always good to see you. Feel free to unmute and share perspectives or ask questions.
Thanks, Anders. The one that strikes me is with financial planning and analysis and also business partnering, they're at the forefront of actually executing your strategy and monitoring it and course correcting in a nimble fashion. So the two have to work hand in glove. Strategy is it's not a intermittent process. It has to be done and then continually monitored. I see that's where the real opportunity is for finance people these days in the main. There'll still be some specialists that need to do sort of technical accounting or finance type roles, but it's really getting away from the spreadsheets and getting into the business and supporting business people to drive out the strategy successfully.
I think you're spot on, Steve. I mean, and it has proven and still proves to be a challenge to get out of the spreadsheets. I mean, we often ask the finance teams, and we deal with a lot of business finance teams and also FP&A teams on what they spend their time on. And it is still to this day, probably the same 10 years ago, 2/3 on data reporting analysis. And it could, of course, be that it's shifting a bit in between from data to analysis, but we're not really seeing any big shift there. And I don't think it's because the technology is not available anymore. I don't think it's because CFOs are not willing to invest in these teams. I think it's simply there's still some mindset change that needs to happen where we accept uncertainty. We're never going to have 100% accuracy. We accept that we might not always be right. And even if we are right, we might still not be able to influence. So there's a lot of acceptance to a new way of doing things. That is difficult because we are not numbers people only anymore. We are much more people. And it's a personal transformation as well as a transformation of the finance function. And I think I've mentioned this quite a few times, at least on the show here. I've gone through this myself. I know how hard it is. And I know it's not just done in a fortnight, but it can be done if you want to make it happen. And let's be honest, some people, they don't want to make it happen. They perhaps prefer to go down that technical accounting route or data analytics and whatever it might be, where they might be better suited. But it is definitely possible, even though you might not feel comfortable doing it today. But say yes, and then we'll find a way. The fourth team is two teams, tax and treasury. And here we say the expertise to navigate the global regulatory labyrinth. What we are seeing in the modern finance function is that with so many external forces at play, CFOs are placing ever-increasing reliance on high-performing tax and treasury teams. Their deep functional expertise is now more critical than ever. This team is tasked with the challenge of navigating the intricate maze of global financial regulations, where initiatives and regulations in different jurisdictions have changed the game. Add to this the importance of ESG considerations, another layer of complexity to the role and responsibilities of the tax and treasury teams, but something incredibly important to both the business and the world in general. In addition, as we've discussed also in the show, ESG is increasingly influencing investment decisions and stakeholder expectations, making them essential to tax and treasury strategies. The CFO needs a team that has both the technical tax and financial acumen and also understands the broader impact of their decisions in the context of global trends and social expectations. A hugely important role. The fifth team, which is kind of more like a part of the organization that supports everything else, is what we call global business services, or some call it shared service centers or something else. But it's basically where you have consolidated a lot of your resources that for work that can be done centrally and doesn't need to be done close to the business. Tag on here is accelerating scale and enablement. The CFO's focus on shared or global business services, GBS, is increasing. To the modern finance function, CFO, they are more than just cost centers. They are critical. An enterprise backbone that delivers a range of support functions, including back and middle office operations, and carries with it high user expectations of efficiency and ongoing continuous improvement of service effectiveness. Key questions CFOs ask are, how can we seamlessly integrate value-creating technologies into operations? And how can global business services and shared service models build new capabilities? The modern finance function has reimagined its role with technology and digitization taking center stage. CFOs seek out end-to-end process optimization and implementing strategies that can drive economies of scale. Automation here is key, of course, to this, and the role of analytics in GBS has become very important. Advanced analytics enable these teams to provide deeper insights, drive process optimization, and support data-driven decision-making. By leveraging analytics shared in global business services, can offer strategic insights that drive business growth and operational excellence, and be real examples to the rest of the organization about how it can and should be done. And I'd say this about global business services. It's definitely evolved in the past 10, 20 years. In the first beginning, perhaps it was labor arbitrage, whether we like it or not. Then it was, let's say, efficiencies and scale in accounting operations. And in the last 5-7 years, it's become even more about the analytics and driving insights to business leaders and to perhaps the business finance and FP&A teams sitting close to these business leaders. So it's definitely moving up the value chain significantly. And that's a good thing, because that means we can step out of the spreadsheets, like Steve mentioned. So definitely not a bad thing there, but it also requires that we integrate them in our work and not see them as a separate thing that delivers a service to us and then we do something. No, they are part of the team. They are not something separate. So CFOs need finance to play a role that goes way beyond the traditional role of accounting and control. Those still need to be done. I mean, that's the, let's say, the complexity of being a CFO or a senior finance leader today. Everything that you were tasked with in the past might not be what you're valued for today, but it still needs to get done, which is why you need to do it efficiently so that you actually have time to do what is valued. The rest is just considered a given. So it's harsh, yes, for sure, but that's just the way things are going. The modern CFO needs each and every component. They realize that each is vital to the overall financial health and strategy of the organization. Looking to the future, we think that CFOs will increasingly value skill sets that align and complement this integrated system. Adaptability, technological proficiency, and strategic thinking are vital in the modern finance function to go with the necessary prerequisite of financial acumen of finance professionals. This means the ability to interpret and communicate complex data simply and effectively, a deep understanding of global market dynamics and the role and fit of the company, and a keen eye for innovation, and integrating new technologies will distinguish the finance professionals in the modern finance function. What do you think? As a finance function, we continue to evolve. These diverse skill sets will be crucial in navigating the complexities of the modern business landscape and drive sustainable growth. Big shoes to fill, and they feel like the shoes are getting bigger every year, but then our feet will just have to grow with them, so to speak. We are in the Q&A part of today's show. So Tina, Steve, or Jinder, if you want to share more perspectives on this, feel free to do so. And if anyone else wants to come up on stage, you can raise your hand and we will bring you up.
Okay, so I will say something. As Steve mentioned, and you, Anders, as well, this business integration, finding the sweet spot and getting away from the spreadsheets for the data analysts or finance or, I don't know, reporters, how we are going to do that. We know that finance people, similar to programmers, are more introverted, and we have these highly extroverted people from the business side. So I don't know, how do you suggest to mix those two seemingly different characters of people?
It's obviously a big challenge, Tina. So, I mean, I'm an introvert myself. And so going through this development has been tough and challenging, right? But when you come out on the other side, it can actually be very rewarding. I think what's key is that we use simple approaches and frameworks for how we do what we call partnering with business leaders. So whether it's a sales manager or a marketing manager or an operations manager, whoever they are, they have goals, they have needs, they have targets to beat. And we are there to help them do that. If we can do that, then we can build a great relationship with them. They might be different from us, but different is not bad as long as we know what that different is. Then we can adjust our style of communication, for instance. So, for instance, my communication style is ideally kind of direct. I don't need a lot of social talk before I go into the topic of a meeting, for instance. But others might prefer that social talk for 5 minutes about, in my opinion, nothing. So I have to adapt my style of communication and understand from them, okay, you know, so hey, did you watch the game last night? If I know they're into sports, or, you know, did they do something in their spare time? Whatever it might be. I'd get to know them and then adjust. And from that, you can actually build great relationships. Anyone else has thoughts to share? I have a minute or two left, so feel free to do so.
Hi, Anders. I might just add a little piece to what Tina was saying. I think when you're engaging with other functions, if you start off and you're trying to address their pain points, that always is a way of sort of building rapport, I find, that it's less a case of finance imposing new demands on people or new requests, but actually you're conveying a message that you're there to try and help.
Exactly. And I think it's that simple, Steve. I mean, who has ever said no to free help in being successful? I'm yet to meet that person. But of course, if we come with, you know, here are the numbers, we're not doing well, you need to fix this, let's talk when you fix it. Then, of course, it's a different discussion. And while I'm stereotyping or making a bit black and white here, many finance professionals, they unfortunately take an approach similar to this. And of course, that makes these business leaders kind of standoffish. So put their needs at the center. And if you work in business finance, for instance, this should be all you're focusing on, nothing else. And of course, in the beginning, it can be kind of difficult, but eventually, once you have helped them out a number of times, they wouldn't make any important decisions without involving you. And I think that's kind of the gold standard that we can get to. All right, we are at the end of today's show. I want to thank Tina and Steve for coming up on the stage to share perspectives and ask questions. Always appreciated, and good to see people from previous shows coming back as well. And thanks to everyone in the audience. We'll continue with the topic of the modern finance function next week, and we'll consider what does a day in the life of the modern finance function look like. So if you want to hear more about that, feel free to tune in. If you need anything, feel free to reach out here on LinkedIn. Bye for now, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?